Heavenly Father, we just praise you tonight. I praise you tonight, Lord. You have been so incredible to us, so good to us, so good to us. You delivered us from death. You've delivered us, Lord, from a self-destructive way of life. You've delivered us from the tyranny of sin and the power of the flesh. You delivered us, Lord, from death. And you've saved us for life eternal. And made us your own sons and daughters that you love and you prize and you treasure. And we don't deserve a thing. And I honor you tonight, Heavenly Father, for your incredible goodness. I'm overwhelmed, Lord, by your goodness to me. Overwhelmed. I thank you, God, that you hear and answer prayer. I thank you, God, that you empathize and understand all of our weaknesses and all of our frailties. You understand the longing and the desire of our heart. And I ask you, Heavenly Father, tonight that you would speak to us, touch our heart, and touch our soul. What a privilege it is to be with the people of God and worship the one true living God. And we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can give me a little bit in here, Luke. Thank you. You know, I've been waiting 14 years. 14 years to have my daughter be able to sing worship again. 14 years. I'll tell you a little bit about it later. Tonight, I would like to read to you from Psalm 66. Over the next several weeks, I would like to share with you some of the precious psalms and what they have meant to me over the years. I love the psalms. I love the emotion of the psalms. I love the anguish of the psalms. I love the truths and the perspectives in the psalms. The psalms have been a constant companion for me for 41 years. I'll never forget one of the first times in which the psalms just came alive to me. I was 21 years old, and I'd just been thrown out of my fiance's parents' home. Laughed at because I wanted to propose to her and marry her. And I was sent to a motel because I was not trusted to stay at the home because I was told I might get up in the middle of the night and steal from them. And I went to that motel room, and I grabbed a pillow and my Bible, and I went into the bathroom and wailed, literally wailed. I have never, ever in my life to that point been through anything like that in my entire life. I could not believe what just occurred. This is before, you know, you had secret little communication things you carried in your pocket called a phone that you could text. There was no way to communicate to my fiance what had just happened. I left her. She was in tears. I was told to leave. And I went into that bathroom. I tried to find the innermost room of that motel, sobbed into the pillow so no one could hear me, and spent the next 6 hours reading psalm after psalm after psalm after psalm. And for the first time in my life, I experienced them. I'll never forget when I came to the text where David says, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me in. The Lord will not forsake me. And it meant something to me that I never quite understood before. That has now been a regular occurrence over the last 40 years of my life. And Psalm 66 has been a psalm that over the last several years I've gone to over and over, and I'd like to share it with you tonight. Shout joyful praises to God, all the earth. Sing about the glory of his name. Tell the world how glorious he is. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Your enemies cringe before your mighty power. Everything. In heaven and earth will worship you. They will sing your praise, shouting your name in glorious songs. Come and see what God has done. What awesome miracles he does for his people. He made a dry path through the Red Sea, and his people went across on foot. Come, let us rejoice in who God is. For by his great power, he rules forever. He watches every movement of the nations. Let no rebel rise in defiance. Let the whole world bless our God and sing aloud his praises. Our lives are in his hands, and he keeps our feet from stumbling. You have tested us, O God. You have purified us like silver, melted in a crucible. You captured us in your net. You laid a heavy burden on our back. You sent men to ride over our head. We went through fire. We went through flood. But you brought us to a place of great abundance. Now I come to your temple with burnt offerings to fulfill the vows I made to you. Yes, the sacred vows you heard me make when I was in deep trouble. That is why I'm sacrificing burnt offerings to you, the best of my rams as a pleasing aroma. I will sacrifice bulls and goats. Come and listen, all you who fear the Lord. And I will tell you what he did for me, for I cried out to him for help, praising him as I prayed. If I had not acknowledged the sin in my heart, God would not have listened, but God did listen and paid attention to my prayer. Praise God who did not ignore my prayer and did not withdraw his unfailing love from me. This psalm is very personal to me, very personal. First thing that I want you to notice is the emotion of the psalmist. Shout to God, all the earth. One of the great tragedies that I've watched over the last 4 years of my life, as I've pastored, as I've counseled people, as I deal with Christians, is this. The almost, at times, utter lack of emotional connection with you and God. It's stunning to me. We have the most emotionally powerful God in the universe. And God created us as emotional beings to connect with God. And yet I see so many people who have no idea what it means to get along with God and say, "Thank you, God! You have been so good to me, Lord." Their mind never gets really involved. Their heart never really gets involved. But they will go to a stadium, or they'll be in their living room with their dopey purple shirt on, cheering for losers that have let you down for the 30 years I've lived here. Can I get an amen to that? Well, and God has never let you down. He's never let you down. Oh, he may test us, and we'll get to that. It may appear that he's letting you down, but the Vikings always let you down. They win a few games, they build up your hopes, and stomp your heart into the ground. When will you realize that? But that is the metaphor, is it not? For life. Life, everything in life. I'm driving down the highway the other day, and I look over, and there's a guy in his brand new Lexus with a flat tire. That's cool, isn't it? That's great. You know, he's sitting there just like anybody else in his $65,000 car. Help. It wouldn't be cool if I tried to change my own tire. I don't even know how. Ha ha. You know, these cars are so common. I was with somebody the other day, and we're trying to figure out where's the defrost. Man alive, it's unbelievable. I like my car. Just turn, there it is, just turn the knob. There, defrost. God never lets us down. And you see the David in the Psalms. Man, I want to talk to you for just a moment. You know, generally speaking, this is a beautiful thing at this church. I don't know if you know this, but all the men in this room, stand up a minute. Stand up. Just stand up. Guys, stand up. Men, men. Look around this room, ladies. Look around this room. Okay, sit back down. Now I want to tell you how unusual this is. On any given weekend at church service, about 65% of the people in the room are women. And not here. We're at 50-50, or maybe there's even a few more guys here tonight. You know why? Because they understand that Christianity is about men too, not just women connecting with God. The most emotive guy in the whole Bible is a man. And his faith and his relationship with God was real. And David, I've told you this before, he's one of my heroes. He's one of the Bible people that shaped me, but he's a man's man. He's a musician. I'm a musician. Doesn't mean you have to be, but for me, it means something to me. He's a warrior, man. The guy was fearless. And when sometimes he got afraid when hit around the Philistines because he was doubting in his relationship with God. He made some great mistakes in his life, but he recovered, and he got back up, and he kept going, and he loved God with all of his heart, mind, soul, and strength. And in Psalm 63, he says, "Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly, fervently, I seek you. My soul longs for you. My body craves you in a dry and weary land." I love that man. I love his spirit. I want that spirit. I want to imitate. I have imitated that spirit. I understand what that means to say, "Oh God, you're my God." And I love this psalm. Shout to God. Shout to God. Tell the world how glorious he is. Wow, you know, it's such a joy to tell others about Jesus, about God. You know, it can happen just like this. Often I go to Trader Joe's. And I've just gotten in the habit, you know, when you get older, I think maybe it's because I'm gray, people just, I have one guy at Trader Joe's, he always calls me Rockstar every time I see him, because I'm always in the same outfit, my Rockstar outfit. And I don't know, I never thought of it that way before, just me. But he always calls me that. So he goes, "Mark, how are you doing today? Rockstar, it's good to see you." I said to him, I said, "You know how I am? Kusme, God has been so good to me. He has been so good to me. Time after time after time, God has come through on my behalf, Kuzme. I have 4 children, now 4 in-law children. I have 11 grandchildren. You know how many prayers that God has answered over the last many years?" And his eyes get big. "And I have a good relationship. He doesn't think I'm a wacky nut. You know, I don't walk through going, 'Hallelujah, praise Jesus.' Yeah, then they're going to think I'm a little nutty. But he understands when I start to tell him, you know, God has just been really good to me. He's been really good to me." I was one time I was in a jewelry store getting something special for my wife, and the woman came up to me to wait on me, and she said, "May I help you?" I said, "You know, I'm just looking for a really, really special ring. I'll know what it is when I see it, but I'm looking for kind of a stone, a cool rock, something kind of silver, something really unusual for this, for my girlfriend." She goes, "Well, how long have you guys been together?" I said, "Well, 35 years. 35 years? I said, "Well, I married her too." She said, "No, is it her birthday or is it some special?" I said, "No. I just want to know. I'm crazy about her. I'm crazy about the girl." So this woman, she's a couple years older than I am. And you can tell she's from that Santa Fe, New Mexico kind of earth child hippie person. And she looks at me and she goes, I've never heard anyone in my life talk like you just talked." I said, "Well, you probably never met anybody like me." She said, "Mark, I was married 25 years and my husband left me for a secretary." And I looked at her and I said, "I'm very, very sorry that happened to you. Men are idiots." And she said, well, I'll say amen to that." I said, "I want to tell you something. I was an idiot. I was an idiot. And Christ changed my life. And if he hadn't changed my life, I wouldn't be in here buying no ring. I'll tell you that. I wouldn't be with the same girl. Christ changed my life." She looked at me and said, I've never heard anything like that. I said, "Well, you know, I have to tell you about Jesus, what he did for me." So I just took a few minutes, and she just stood there, and she was enraptured by what I had to say because of the reality that I'm crazy about my girl. I didn't just come in there witnessing. I just brought up the story of God in my life. God has been good to you. God has been so good to you, more than most of us recognize. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds? Your enemies cringe before your mighty power. This morning in my prayer time, some of you know this, but I'm trying to get everybody I know into the habit of prayer walking. I've been working with a pastor friend of mine in a couple states away, and he's actually several years older than I am. And so we saw each other a couple months ago. We were at a conference together. And he's trying to also get in a little bit better shape. And so I just said, if I can ever help you, let me know. We'll call him Tom. So he wrote me. He said, Mark, could you help me? I said, be glad to. I said, so here's what you do. Here's what I've been doing for years. I get up in the morning real early. And I get awake. And I have my cup of coffee. And then I go out. I go on an hour prayer walk. I've now prayer walked 31,000 miles. All the way on planet Earth and all the way across the United States. I said, but you don't want to start there. We're just going to start you with 10 minutes. 10 minutes. I want you to just get out, and I want you to exhale to God. I want you to talk to God. I want you to talk about whatever's on your mind, whatever's been bothering you, whatever's weighing on you. He just went through a very grievous situation. And I've been checking up with him every 2 weeks, and just the other day he wrote me, he said, Mark, it's been transformative. It's transformative. I'm connecting with God in ways I never have before. And this guy's a couple years older than I am, and he's just started to do this. And this morning, I'm just walking and I'm praying. I said, Lord, God, I just thank you. You are so incredible. You are so powerful. And one day, all these wicked liars, you're going to kill them all. You're going to destroy them all. All these fools. All these idiots. Every single person who raises up against the knowledge of God, you will destroy. You will destroy. God is incredible. He's incredible. And I was thinking this morning today when he says, let no one rise up in defiance against him. Where is Adolf Hitler? I am a World War II buff. I have about 15 movies in my DVD collection, about 15 other documentaries, and I just watch them. And it is, you ever want to, if you think sometimes life is scary right now, you should just watch what was going on. And watch Hitler rise to power. And watch all of Germany begin to gather around him. And watch him march in to one country after another, as army after army after army after army is falling. It's unbelievable. And in 10 years, bam, he's dead in a hole. But the whole entire world was at war. The entire world was at war. The depression's going on. Oh my gosh. And God just sort of, poof, you're dead. Mao Zedong, poof, you're dead. Karl Marx, Stalin, poof, you're dead. And one day, all the fools, all that you see being raised up against God and against the righteous will be gone. God is so awesome. He is so awesome. And we think, oh man, is so powerful. We're nothing. We're nothing. We're nothing. All of our nuclear weapons, God just, he puts him out. He has more power in the follicle of his hair, one, than in all of man's perceived power. And sometimes the reason our problems, and I found this in my own life, are so overwhelming is because I have not reflected on who God really is and what God is really capable of. Listen, you want to know the most incredible truth of life? This is the truth of life. This is the rock solid factual truth of life. Nothing can produce something. Something cannot come from nothing. Hello, all you evolutionists out there in the public school system, ramming your crap down our children's heart and minds. How stupid do you think we are? Nothing can create something. Nothing. Do you believe that? Do you understand that? God, from nothing, called into being that which does not exist. He said, let there be light, and bam, there's light. Let there be the moon, bam, and there's the moon. Let there be the ocean, bam, and there's the ocean. With his spoken word. And yet, as Romans says, we're like fools and we just listen to the insanity. Claiming to be wise, we become fools and we make up all kinds of crazy ideas about where everything came from. And we worship idols and animals and things carved out of wood that we burn to warm our bodies. God is incredible. You want to have a more and more calm and peace-filled life? You need to get you and I a fresh perspective of the power of God. Come and see what God has done. What awesome miracles he does for his people. He made a dry path through the Red Sea, and his people went across on foot. Come, let us rejoice in who he is. We've robbed God of his glory. We've robbed God of who he is. Do you know there's a psalm that says this? Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Ascribe to the Lord. Do you know what the word ascribe means? Give the guy his credit. And the reason that so often, and I found this in my own life, that I can from circumstances be shaking like a leaf or frightened, is because I have this pompous, elevated view of man and this tiny ant-like view of God. And we need to change that. We need to recognize how great God really is. We need to learn to rejoice in who God really is and ascribe to him the glory due his name and what he's really doing in the world and how God is over all things. God is over the nations and he moves them in the way that will bring him honor. And then we come right down into you and your life and mine. Your life and mine. Let the whole world bless our God and sing aloud his praises. Our lives are in his hands. He keeps our feet from stumbling. I want to comment on this for just a moment. Last Monday, you'll understand this in a moment, where I'm going with this. I want to talk about one of the things God has done for me and how our life is really in God's hands and how he moves things just for you and I. So last Monday, my wife turned 60. It was an amazing event in our life. I can't still believe that we're 60. I just can't. I am, but I don't really feel 60. And you might think I look 60. That could be debated back and forth. But I don't feel 60. And I was telling Kathy, this is just kind of how she and I are. You know, we sit in our chairs next to each other, and we talk, and then we'll pray a while, and then we'll talk, and we'll pray a while. I said, Kathy, I said, have you ever stopped to think about God's working in our life? I said, so just let me give you a little background. I hope she doesn't get embarrassed by this, because, of course, it's our God story. So how in the world did God move mountains that Kathy and I would actually meet for one brief moment? And I'll explain that moment in just a moment. My wife was in Des Moines, Iowa. She was running at Hoover High. She was the girls' track star at Des Moines Hoover in 1974, 1975. Her boyfriend was the male track star in 1974 and 1975. Her parents decide, I don't know any of this. I'm living up. I'm hitchhiking. You know, I've graduated and I'm living a crazy life and took off for Colorado and down to Houston, Texas. But Kathy, her parents moved back to Kansas. She was born in Kansas. But they didn't take Kathy with her. That's unusual. Even in those days, they left her stay with this guy and his family. So she lived with the parents and him in their house and finished her last year of high school. And then to be near him, he decided to go run at Drake, so she went to run for the women's national cross country team at Iowa State. Now, here's the amazing thing, because it all started there. If Kathy had not been dating this guy, she would have moved back to Kansas with her parents. Going to Kansas, she would, of course, run for KU, where Jim Ryan, the famous world miler, had an incredible track program. She would have never ended up at Iowa State. God was working for me. In the meantime, I've given my life to Jesus Christ, and the big thing I knew that we had to deal with was girls. Got to deal with girls, Lord. Girls, they're a problem. Don't take that personal, ladies. You're wonderful, but they're a problem for me. They were a problem for me. So I remember getting with the Lord. It was the first thing, and it was right around December of 1975. And I just, Lord, we got to settle this. So he gave me this incredible promise, and I just put it on the shelf. I said, good, you're going to take care of it. They're out of my life, and I'm just going to follow you and serve you. Sharing my faith. So in the meantime, God said, this girl, he's working. And so she decides to go to Iowa State. So I get with these hippie Christians up near Webster City, Iowa, which is about 50 miles from Ames. I've never been to the campus. I've never even been to Ames. Meantime, God's working on her heart. She's beginning to see how empty her relationship is with this guy. She's beginning to see that running, she was running 17 miles a day, training in the morning, getting up early, and training again runs at night. Running. She was getting kind of anemic, getting kind of sick, was a whole another level of running with the women's national cross-country team. She's starting to get a little bit disillusioned. God was working on her. In the meantime, I'm following the Lord. And all of a sudden, one night, Kathy realized, I'm not living the abundant life. I need to live the abundant life. And she's walking down one particular road, one road. I know the road. And she came across a poster, talked about this Bible study, and it just dawned on her, I am missing fellowship. I need other Christians. She'd never been to church. She'd never been around other Christians. She started to go. They're going to have their first fall conference of 1976. It's about October 1st. And so she decides to go. It's at Twin Lakes at Rockwell City, Iowa. I'm 50 miles away, never heard of these people, but my hippie friend, who was a Christian, he was long hair, we both had our leather jackets, and the same identical sports car, Datsun 1600 Roadster. His was yellow, mine was blue. That was God. That's an amazing story. And he says, Mark, there's these Christians, they're meeting down here in Rockwell City, and they're really passionate about God. We ought to go. I said, oh, let's go. So we go. We pull into the gravel parking lot. It's kind of night, it's kind of dim, and it's pouring rain. It's pouring rain. Now, a guy with long, gorgeous hair like me and my suede leather fringe jacket, rain is not cool. I do not want to get wet. I hate getting wet. Have no umbrella because that was really uncool. And so I'm sitting in the car, and I notice there's this popcorn snack stand, and there's a few people over there, and I'm like, if I run really fast, I think I can get there without getting soaked. So I did. I just left my buddy. I just ran. And I got under, I'm standing there. God brought the rain, drove me under the snack stand, and the only possible place I could meet the girl there who was all wet. These people over here, they're talking, and so I'm standing there. The rain is pounding down. So this was not a come on. This was sincere. I just, excuse me, is this your first conference? It is. I said, what's your name? Kathy. Well, I'm Mark, Kathy. It's my first conference, too. How long have you known the Lord? She goes into her testimony, and I'm dying on the inside. I'm like, this girl's hardcore. She's telling me her running history. I quit the team. She's telling me my boyfriend, I've been going out 4 years waiting to propose. I quit. I broke up. God is first in my life. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So I'm telling her my story. In the meantime, she's thinking the same thing. Well, the rain stops. Bye. We leave. Goodbye. See ya. Go to the conference. I don't know anybody there. No one there knows me except the guy I came with. Find out that the girl they put Kathy room with graduated from high school with me, the only person there who knew me. So Kathy, you know how girls are. They're laying on the bunk bed. They're talking. Talk. Kathy goes, you know, Carol, I met this guy tonight. I mean, he is so passionate for God. You're talking about Mark Darling, aren't you? I didn't say his name. No, you're talking about Mark Darling. I know him. I went to school with him. Yeah, God has really changed his life. You think that was accident? You think that's just coincidence? And 2.5 years later, I married that woman, and she has been the best human thing that's ever happened in my life. And God has done so many things through the years. I could just stand here tonight and tell you one thing after another of how God has been good to me. You tested us, O Lord. You purified us like silver. I'm going to end with this passage. You captured us in your net, laid a burden of slavery on us. You made men right over us. We went through fire and flood. You brought us to a place of abundance. I have to end with this story. I'm sorry. This is my daughter over here, and this is my son-in-law. 7.5 years ago, after my daughter's been sick for about 6 years, God had been testing me. You want to know, this passage means a great deal to me. It's very personal. Oh, my gosh, did God test me more than I'd ever been tested in my life. And there were times I thought it would kill me. At 18, my daughter Jessica came home. She can sing. We just had this gigantic thing at the convention center, this big Christmas thing, like 4,000 people were there. I shared the gospel with these people. Jessica had worked on a Christina Aguilera song, Christmas song, and it was just an amazing night. 2 months later, she's laying flat in a bed. Her body's racked with pain. She's 18 years old. And day after day after day, it got worse and worse and worse and worse. And I have a journal at home where I kept track and dated every trial that also happened during that period of time. It was unbelievable. And my wife, she just kept hanging on to God and hanging on to the Word. And pretty soon, Jessica's fully bedridden. And for almost 3.5, 4 years, she's bedridden. And she got sores all over her body. And we go to doctor after doctor, hospital after. And God is causing men to ride over our head. And God has got us in a crucible. And the fire's going on. So tonight, while I'm standing back there, all this is going through my mind. And then God brought Mark into Jessica's life on her 25th birthday. He's a massage therapist, deep tissue massage. Jessica had severe fibromyalgia as well. He started, Jeremy knew him from the rock students. So he came up to the hospital and he began to work on her back and her fibroid tissues. And he said, Mark, and Mark's strong. Mark's a gymnast. Mark could take any one of you right here tonight. If he grabs you a certain way, he'll have you down on the ground crying in pain. He is that strong, he can get to your pressure point that bad. I can't have him do it. It just hurts so bad. He said, Mark, he would rub Jessica for 3 hours. He'd go, I can't rub men this hard. Her tolerance for pain is unbelievable. Her back, this stuff is weird in her back. And I'll never forget Mark coming up to me, and he said, Mark, I don't want to say this. He said, God told me he wants me to help your family. And we were gasping for air, man. I didn't have any answers. I spent thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to get her well. And it was on her 25th birthday. She's in the hospital for 3 weeks. She came home. He would come over, but it was really bad. And finally, at the end of that December, after Faith Walker, she had to go back. She was there a month in the hospital. And then a month in a nursing care facility. And God literally caused men to ride over our heads. And I was in a situation I could not get out of. There was nothing I could do about it at all. I've never felt so powerless in my entire life. In my entire life. And I just kept holding on to God and clinging to God. And there were days I just thought, I remember one day I was in the shower and I just collapsed. I just collapsed. I just like sobbing. I'm like, God, you're killing us, man. You're killing us, Lord. Okay, this is 7 years, Lord. Do you want to know something about the refiner and the silver? Here's the thing. The refiner, when he's refining the silver, he gets it hot, hot, hot. But it can't go over hot. If it goes over hot, you ruin it. So the refiner watches it the whole time. And it's as if, I never forgot Kathy saying this to me. She said, Mark, God is one day going to say, this is as far as you go and no farther, and he's going to stop it all. It's going to stop. And God used Mark. Their story is just, it's incredible. I'll never forget the day you proposed to Jessica. She was in the worst shape she had ever been. It was awful. And then I'll never forget her wedding on November 2nd of 2013. And it was unlike anything I've ever experienced in my life. It was like this place of abundance God brought us. And then 3 months later, she was slammed into by a drunk driver, and her world was rocked upside down again. And tonight, my wife is holding their little baby. I never thought Jessica could have children after everything that happened to her. Young person, I want to tell you something. I know many of you here personally. I hug you because I love you. Some of you have been in prison. Some of you have been struggling with alcohol or drugs, and you're coming out of it. Don't you give up. Don't you give up hope. Don't you give up hope. God will come through for you. God will come through for you. And it may not be in the time that you wish it was. I get that. It may not be in the exact way, but God will not let you down. God will come through for you. He will not take his love from you. He hears your cries. He hears your prayers. He collects, the Bible says, your tears in a bottle because your sorrows matter to God. And there will be a time He will bring you to a place of abundance. Father, I love you, Lord. I love you. You're the best thing in my life. Every good thing that I have in my life, Lord, every good thing is because of you. I am not the source of it. My wife is not the source of it. My brains are not the source of it. My labor is not the source of it. It's your generosity and your goodness and your kindness and your mercy, Lord. And I'm so overwhelmed. Lord, I love you. I love you, God. And I thank you so much for the reality of Jesus in our lives and the fact that every single one of us here have access to the same God and the same experience walking with God. There's not a person in this room, Lord, you're not going to refine. You're going to refine us. You're going to take us through difficulties, fire, and water. But as Isaiah 43 says, we are precious to you. We are honored, and you love us. You call us by name, and we're yours. When you walk through the fire, the flames will not burn you. When you go through the water, you will not drown, for I am with you, the Holy One of Israel. I bless you, Lord, tonight. I honor you, Lord. Bless these men and women. In Jesus' name, amen.